Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Don't get long for the day when they're back to the days, perhaps, when there weren't so many breaking news stories and so many major things going on, not only here in the United States, but obviously all around the world. I mean, it's just total nutso, insanity, bizarro world these days. Welcome to Call to Action Radio. It is Steve Noble. It's great to be with you, as always. The website, which we're working on changing radically, by the way, once we get this thing done and flip the switch, you won't even recognize the website. It's going to be it's a completely new one that we're going to replace the existing website. Much more interactive, a lot more going on in the future with digital, the digital side of the media world and podcasting and social media and all that kind of stuff. I want to be able to share more of the stories that I'm reading and working through to share with you on the air there at the website, videos, all kinds of stuff. So we're trying to make it much more interactive so that we can serve you better in the future as God continues to take us down a really interesting road with Call to Action Radio. And so just make sure you're aware of that. That's coming. But you can go to the website right now, c2atoday.com, the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, c2atoday.com. The podcasts are there. If you're an iTunes person, you can subscribe there. That doesn't cost anything. That's just a free podcast, iTunes subscription, Facebook, Twitter, all that kind of stuff. A lot of activity. Right now, most of my social media activity is on Facebook. And so you can check that out if you're on Facebook. And please go to that page and then like it. That way you'll stay in the stream when we're sharing stories there, which I try not to inundate anybody on Facebook with stuff. I post a few times a day, but you're not going to know what I'm doing every 20 minutes. Why would you? And why would I want to share that? You know, that's just kind of narcissistic, strange world we live in now. Like we all want to know what each other's doing all the time and what we think about every single thing. No, I think probably an hour a day right now with me is probably enough for most of you. And then an occasional thing, take it or leave it on Facebook, but that's there as well. I got a lot of guests coming in this week. So today we're going to do a couple of news stories, something very interesting. Glenn Beck spoke in an evangelical church down in Tampa yesterday. And, I'm gonna share a clip from that in the second half of the show today, because I want to take you through something, how you listen. It's very careful now how we listen, not just to things like that where you have a Mormon in an evangelical church and the things that are said, and how do you parse through that in terms of understanding everything that we're taking in through a biblical lens so that we can understand truth, we can understand lie, we can understand where we can align ourselves and where we should not, and ultimately the things that matter now, which are temporary, and the things that matter forever. We have to get better at that. As the days grow darker, and the Bible says, hey, we must work while it's day because the night is coming when no one will work. The night is coming, in case you hadn't noticed that. I don't know where you're at with your end times thinking, your eschatology, as we would say at the seminary level. Kind of end times, the end of the world, the Antichrist, Jesus comes back. All of that as we read predominantly in the book of Revelation, but also throughout the New Testament and some things in the Old Testament that point us in that direction. But things are speeding up and getting darker much more quickly than they ever have in my life. I'm 49 years of age. I'll be 50 in February. And I've just never seen things, so many things. And some of the stories that I have today are going to show that, just one major significant issue after another. And so it always comes back to, okay, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Is the sky falling? Well, kinda. Is it the end of the world? Well, kinda. And what do we do about it? Well, again, like I want to remind you, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, as I am, I am a Christian who happens to live in America. Okay, I'm not an American Christian, although that you could make that statement and it would be accurate. I am a Christian who happens to live in America, so we try to come at everything through a Christian worldview, our Christianity first. A biblical mindset first, an appreciation for and activity in the gospel comes first, and then our life here, in the here and the now. You know, we're to be in the world but not of the world. It's very challenging to live out our Christianity in today's world, and it's getting more difficult all the time. But so that's what we do, really. That's what I try to do and have guests and bring things in here to the show to share with you, to encourage us, to challenge us, to equip us as we move forward, to be kingdom builders, but also people that are dealing and living in the real world. You know, we're not trying to move out to Wyoming and have our little call to action evangelical Christian enclave out there where we just turn everything off, basically become like the Mennonites or the Amish and do our own thing. No, we're not advocating for that. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to be kingdom building, kingdom minded people while also dealing with just the wreckage and the heartbreak and the issues that are around us. And it's hard, isn't it? It's difficult to prioritize and work our way through this while we're trying to raise our families, invest in our marriage, pay our bills, take care of our health, perhaps, challenges with prodigal sons and daughters in the church and all of a sudden, man, it's heaven's going to be awesome because all this stuff will all be gone. So the rest of this week, a lot of different guests coming in. This week, tomorrow, here in North Carolina, a gentleman named Chris Schofield is with the Baptist Convention in North Carolina. But they're working on the Baptist denomination across the country, Southern Baptist, working on some great prayer initiatives. That's hugely important for all of us. And so we'll talk about that tomorrow and some ways that we can be praying for our nation, for one another, for the church, for the gospel, for the persecuted church and persecuted, not just the Christians in the Middle East, but all the people that are being subjugated to all kinds of evil and violence and being thrown out of their homes and their cities being taken over from ISIS. And now I've got a story about Russia sending tanks. It's their biggest deployment outside of Russia since the USSR. I mean, it's crazy. And so all that, we have to be in a people of prayer about all of that. Wednesday, former Navy SEAL Chad Williams, who also works with Pastor Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade folks out in California, he wrote an incredible book. I read it probably a little over a year ago, SEAL of God. His testimony, his time qualifying for and becoming a Navy SEAL and what that experience was like. And so it's going to be gospel, military, Navy SEAL, appreciating our vets and the people that serve our nation and the armed services, an incredible story and testimony with Chad Williams on Wednesday. Of course, we'll have Theology Thursday again this week. And then Friday, back to the Planned Parenthood issue, which I'm not going to, for whatever I can do, I'm not going to let that one go away. So Friday, some of our friends from 40 Days for Life are going to be here to help us focus some of our prayer attention, some of our activities on the quest for life, saving the most innocent lives around us. The Planned Parenthood it continues to go as we want to see it defunded, dismantled, and prosecuted. Planned Parenthood, the issue of life, we have to deal with that too. It's just so heavy. There's so much to engage, so much to care about. But remember, God's not going to hold any one of us responsible for everything in the world. He's going to hold you responsible for what he's given you, starting with your family, your relationships, your work, the people right there. That's your little Judea, your Jerusalem, your Judea, Samaria, going out a little further, uttermost parts of the world. And so you have this concentration of our efforts on the things that we can touch, the people that we know, the environments that we live in, the places of influence that he's given us. That's your primary responsibility. And then praying for all the bigger things that you can't get to, or supporting and keeping yourself knowledgeable and engaging where you can, and perhaps sending an email or making a phone call or sending a text or going somewhere. Maybe you get on the plane and you go and you help somewhere, doing something. In the name of God, you know, let our light so shine before men that they will see our good deeds and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. And so it's really, there's just not a lot of downtime for us as followers of Jesus Christ in this world. And we were never promised some kind of a vacation, were we? I can't find that anywhere in the passages of scripture that I've been reading for the last 22 years or so, but we just aren't. You don't get the vacation. We have the joy of the Lord. We have rest in him, but we are busy about our Father's business Monday through Sunday. And so that's just the deal. So let's try to encourage one another. By the way, encouragement, sending a note, a little note of encouragement, an email, words of encouragement. That's a currency we don't trade in much, and we need it more and more, do we not? So let's plow forward here. And in the second half of the show, I want to get to this clip between the pastor down there at the church in Tampa and some things that Glenn Beck said. And that just being a part of a greater understanding of truth versus lies and subtlety as we move towards a day when I believe, based on end times, that there will be an antichrist, there will be this whole false theology, false prophet, all kinds of lies, and many people who would call themselves Christians will fall right into it. And so this will be a great exercise for us to discern truth from lies and where you have to listen very carefully. Being a casual observer doesn't work anymore. It ain't 1970. And so we have to pay a lot more attention. Let me get to this one. Russia shipping tanks into Syria. It's really remarkable what's happening over there. And now we're arming Iran. And Iran, I didn't know if you saw this. I put a note up on it about Facebook over the weekend. Then all of a sudden they found this, they didn't know they had it. Oh, look at Kali G. Look at that. They just found a big discovery of uranium reserves in Iran in the ground. So what our so-called agreement with Iran does is says, well, you can't buy a whole lot of uranium from other people. And then bada bing, bada boom, they find a bunch there in Iran, which we can do nothing about. And so it's in the backdrop of what's happening in the Middle East and ISIS that you read this story. Yeah, that's what we need. We need some more Vladimir Putin in the situation. This is from Fox News. Russia's military buildup in Syria has grown to include the shipment of a half dozen highly sophisticated battle tanks and more troops, a defense official told Fox News, than what the source called the first clear sign of offensive weapons arriving in Syria. The Pentagon has now tracked a total of 15 Russian Antonov 124 Condor flights into Syria, reflecting a steady stream of military cargo into Syria. According to the latest intelligence, this also includes the arrival of two more Russian cargo ships containing the tanks. The defense official briefed on the latest satellite photos of the Syrian coastline said, quote, this is the largest deployment of Russian forces outside the Soviet Union since the collapse of the USSR, end quote. Accompanying the tanks were 15 fresh artillery pieces. While not publicly confirming the arrival of Russian tanks into Syria, Pentagon spokesman Captain Jeff Davis told reporters on Monday that the activities suggest the establishment of a forward air operating base. 35 armored personnel carriers are talking about surface-to-air missiles. This is scary stuff. It is the world we live in. And that's why, even though we can't engage over there, we can pray. We can pray for peace. We can pray for Jesus to move. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you today. Just going through some of the news of the day and trying to keep us focused, trying to keep myself focused on the things that our Father would have us focused on as Christians. That's where our number one concern has to be. So I was talking about what's going on over there, obviously, with the situation in Syria and Russia's activity there. And those are the things that, we need to pray for things that are going on around the world. Pray for God's intervention. Pray for the peace of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for our brothers and sisters and the other people in the Middle East that are being absolutely abused and killed and murdered and raped and sold. All the nightmare things that are going on over there. Now you've got the humanitarian crisis of all the refugees and people trying to get into. I mean, Germany's saying in the next 12 months they're going to take 1 million people in. 1 million. And those are mostly coming from these Middle Eastern areas in Syria and Iraq and those types of places. And how are they going to figure out who the good guys and who the bad guys are? And it's crazy what's going on around the world right now. But again, what can you do? You can always pray. We can always pray about all this stuff, as we should. Just praying for God to be merciful, praying for the gospel, praying for the persecuted church, praying for ourselves in terms of our own stewardship of the opportunities he gives us to be a part of advancing the kingdom. But outside prayer, and I have a friend that said, hey, listen, we shouldn't do anything without prayer, but prayer isn't the only thing we should do. And so in this case, when you start talking about these types of situations around the world and America's military and diplomatic involvement, the other thing we need to be conscious of, friends, is voting, electing the right people. That matters. Does it matter for eternity? No, but it matters here. And so it matters in the here and the now, and it matters to God. All these things matter, the approximate, the nearby, the here and the now, the 5 years from now, and eternity, of course, all of it. It all matters. That's why it's so difficult sometimes to deal with all of this. And we have the Holy Spirit, which keeps our joy alive and puts our faith in the future. But this thing, that's why it's so important that we need to be engaged and we need to vote. And we need to pay attention to what's going on so we can vote and ask for wisdom to vote for the right people. So you've got this wild election coming up. You've got the next debate this Wednesday night. There's going to be 10 or 11 folks in there on the Republican side. And you need to be watching this. You need to be paying attention. Listen, the two people that are ahead in the polls, and Donald Trump in some of the latest polls, around 30%, Ben Carson around 20%. And what do those two guys have in common besides almost nothing? they're both outsiders. Neither one of them are career politicians. Neither one of them have been in the political world at all. And so you see that frustration of the American populace, at least on the Republican side, showing up in these polls where we'll put a loudmouth, misogynistic, self-centered, narcissist, materialist guy like Donald Trump leading in the polls. Or like anybody but a typical politician. So that's emotion. I get it. And there is some reality there that we need to deal with, that so much of the machine in Washington, D.C. is broken. So many of our politicians are part of the system. They've been corrupted by the power in the system up there. It's the status quo for them. And then it's the rest of us. I mean, look at the Iran deal. 79-80% of Americans polled are like against it. But that doesn't matter to the people on the Hill. That certainly doesn't matter to the president. It's called an oligarchy. That's what we have now. We do not have a functioning representative republic. It's an oligarchy, which is a government that's controlled by a very small, very powerful group of people. And that's where we're at. And so we have to pay attention to the election. We have to be praying for God's people to be wise, pray for some wisdom across this country so that we can elect the right people. But is the Trump thing going to go on forever? I mean, based on the way this nation is now, I could totally listen. We put Obama in not once, but twice, unbelievably, ready to be the president. So unbelievably unqualified to be president. And we elected him not once, but twice. What's that all about? We're so delusional. And by the way, that's setting up nicely for the Antichrist in the end times, isn't it? We want one person to come in and solve everything. Well, there already has been one. His name's not Obama, and it sure ain't Trump. You know his name, don't you? I certainly hope you do. So we have to be looking at this stuff and engaging it. But it's just fascinating to me that, hey, Donald, we'll put him in. And I think we actually could. Now, once you get to the general election, I think that stuff's all going to blow up. But is it going to be Hillary? I mean, some latest polls show Hillary slipping like crazy. I've got a story here that show a sharp erosion in her support among Democratic women. Listen to this. This is from the Washington Post. The numbers in a new Washington Post ABC News poll are an alarm siren, where 71% of Democratic-leaning female voters said in July that they expected to vote for Clinton. Only 42% do now, a drop of 29 percentage points in 8 weeks. And who's the replacement at this point? An old, has-been hippie communist. And that's who's causing trouble for Hillary? And you think it's crazy on the Republican side? What about that? That's lunacy. That's the Democrat Party right now. That's lunacy. Now, I just read another story that old Joe Biden was in New York and doing some different things and then met with one of the Clinton's top money raisers in the past two or three election cycles, who's a big bundler, and he met with him in private, wasn't even on his schedule. And so you could have Joe Biden coming in. And then somewhere out there in the wings has to be Al Gore, right? The inventor of the internet. He's got to be out there somewhere smelling. There's blood in the water. When Hillary loses 27, 28 percentage points in the female Democrat vote, and an old hippie communist guy is the one that's giving her trouble, and then we've got Donald Trump. Welcome to America 2015 leading into 2016. The emperor has no clothes and nobody cares. Isn't that shocking? And we go, well, Christians aren't the big part of the problem there. You know, we got our act together. Really? Only 50% of Christians are even registered to vote. 22 to 25% vote in a presidential election like next year, which means 75% are going to do nothing. They're not going to register. They're not going to vote. They're not going to vote. And I guarantee you they're complaining, but they're not voting. You get in an off-year election like we had last year, and only 12% vote in a primary like we'll have, well, like here in North Carolina next March, 5% of Christians vote. It's well, what do you expect? You know, you squeeze a lemon, what comes out? Lemon juice, right? So you squeeze a sick, depraved, getting very close to being just a totally godless nation who's cut itself off from any moral standard whatsoever. We elect people like our current president, and we consider people like Donald Trump. And what do you expect? I mean, that's just the fruit of this lunacy in our nation, which could be, people are talking about, judgment, God's judgment. What if God's judgment's just, hey, knock yourself out? That's exactly what's happening right now. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. When we come back, a couple more stories. And then I'm going to play the little meeting yesterday with the Mormon and the evangelical. We'll look at that too. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble here on Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again today. A lot of different guests coming up this week, so make sure you tune in. When you miss the show, which is entirely possible, not everybody's available at from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time live or wherever you happen to be around the country listening to the show. In some places it's on in the evening or at night. And I think in South Carolina, it's on right before Laura Ingraham, like at 11 a.m. So they'll hear today's show. You'll hear yesterday's show today. We're hearing today's show. They'll hear it tomorrow. It gets confusing, doesn't it? That's radio for you. So anyway, great to be with you as always. The website, c2atoday.com, or on Facebook, c2atoday.com. Just go to the website, go to the homepage. You can link over to Facebook there. But if you're on Facebook already, it's just facebook.com/c2aradio, or you can find it there under my name, Steve Noble, N-O-B-L-E. So what's going on the marriage front with Kim Davis and getting out of jail the other day? She's back at work today. This is an article that just came out earlier. Kim Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky, who was jailed for refusing to issue a same-sex marriage license, is back to work today. And the first couple to apply for a license at the county clerk's office Monday was a same-sex couple, and they walked out with one. So what's going on there? Here's what she said. I am here before you this morning with a seemingly impossible choice, which I do not wish on any of my fellow Americans, she said. My conscience or my freedom. My conscience or my ability to serve the people that I love, Davis continued, choking back tears, obey God or a directive that forces me to disobey God. Her decision was clear, she said, effective immediately and until an accommodation is provided by those with the authority to provide it, any marriage license issued by my office will not be issued or authorized by me. And she means me personally. Okay. I love my deputy clerks and I hate that they've been caught in the middle. If any of them feels that they must issue an unauthorized license to avoid being thrown in jail, I understand their tough choice and I will take no action against them, Davis said. She is an elected official, by the way. Any unauthorized license that they issue will not have my name, my title, or my authority on it. Instead, the license will state that they are issued pursuant to a federal court order. Davis said she has had great doubts that such licenses could be considered valid. So right now, that's the workaround they did. They've got the piece of paper in there. Doesn't have her name or her office title on it. It has that little thing pursuant to a federal court order. And so things like that are happening around the country. We're in a new day with this alleged so-called same-sex marriage law, which actually isn't a law. It's a decree by five members in the United States Supreme Court, because there is no law that you can point to, which is an interesting constitutional problem. We follow laws, not decrees by the court. So technically, Congress should have to pass a law that says this is a statute that declares same-sex marriage to be part of the marriage landscape in America. No such law exists. So this is a quagmire. And this quagmire is not going to get any clearer. The water's not going to get any less muddy. It's going to get more so. So here's an article from Wall Street Journal. Other state officials say no to same-sex marriage. Local officials in several other states are also refraining from granting licenses or performing ceremonies, drawing stepped-up scrutiny from gay marriage supporters. Like here in North Carolina, where I live, all four magistrates in rural McDowell County have recused themselves from performing civil wedding ceremonies for any couples. The moves are allowed under a state law passed in June that allows certain public officials to avoid marriage duties if they have religious objections. So far, 32 magistrates across North Carolina, about 5% of the total, have done so, according to the state administrative office of the court. So people are having to bring in clerks from other cities and having to work around it. But that is the bitter fruit that's a part of this tree of making a mockery for us Christians of God's institution of marriage and going back on, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 years of human history, and specifically here in America, where marriage has always meant a man and a woman, right? We haven't necessarily been good stewards of that, let's be honest, but it's always meant a marriage of one man and one woman. And so now you've got just kind of chaos all over the place. That's what you get. You get away from truth, you get away from morality, you get away from God's standards. What do you get? You get chaos. And so that's why you have stories like this. While the new law prohibits registers of deeds who are elected officials from refusing to issue licenses, it allows their assistants and deputies to do so. So now it's in Alabama. About a half a dozen county probate judges who oversee the issue of marriage license aren't providing them to any couples. And so on and on and on it goes. It's total chaos. And that's what you get, again, for cutting yourself loose from the tethers of any kind of absolute truth. And people say, oh, there's no such thing as absolute truth. Well, you just made an absolute statement. You just contradicted your own statement. Yeah, there is. And so now we have to deal with that as a result of what? Whose fault is that? Well, go ahead and if you're a Christian, go ahead and put your hand up. If you're a pastor, put it up a little higher. It's our fault. Why? Because we abandon the field. We stop preaching the gospel. We stop teaching our own people. So kids run away from the church when they get to college, and the culture just kind of goes to hell in a handbasket. Why? Because we haven't given them much of an alternative. Here's another one, then I want to get to Glenn Beck. Federal debt held by the public totals $107,000 per household. Oh, that's you should have a party tonight. Tack that on over dinner. Federal debt held by the public totals more than $13 trillion, or about $107,000 per household in the United States. Yippee-ki-yay. Listen to this. One economist says it costs taxpayers $3 to provide a benefit worth $1 to recipients. Who can run anything that way? I couldn't run my business that way. I can't work for anybody that way. But the federal government, because they can just print money and make it all up as they go, we're borrowing 40 cents on the dollar right now, they can do that. And then who pays the price? Is it you? Is it me? A little bit. But ultimately, it's our kids. That's why this is a moral issue, too. The economy, a moral issue. Debt, a moral issue. Marriage, a moral issue. Planned Parenthood, a moral issue. Who's the next president of the United States? Also a moral issue. And that's where we're at. But don't lose your hope, friend. Don't lose your joy. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is temporary. He is eternal. And we have to remember that. We have to be the alternative to the darkness that is consuming more and more square mileage of the earth every day. We, as ambassadors of the good news, have to be that alternative. Brokenhearted, prayerful, engaged, yet not losing our hope or our faith or our joy. There is a way out for each and every person on the planet. We hold the key. Now, are we telling anybody that? That brings me to the Glenn Beck thing. So Glenn Beck, and by the way, you know, I use Glenn Beck and talk about it, you know, every once in a while, because it's a great opportunity to us to talk about truth, approximate truth, truth in the here and the now, and political issues. And I agree with Glenn Beck on most things. You know, it seems he's a little bit doom and gloom for my taste. This is it. This is the final straw. It's always happening. He did it again this morning. And so he's a good example of, hey, how do we engage the nightmare in the world right now? But also we need to be able to kind of maintain our faith and maintain our joy. How do we do that? So I like Glenn because of his stance on a lot of issues. They do great radio. He's really incredibly imaginative, very creative. He's a brilliant guy. But he's also on the other side. He's an example of how you can get so many things right and be wrong on the main thing, and the main thing you're wrong on disqualifies everything else. You can be right on all the political and cultural issues of the day, but if you're wrong on the gospel and what happens to people when they die and where they go when they die, then you're wrong on the one thing that lasts forever. And you're right on the things that don't. Do you think God cares? Yeah, that's what his son died for. The eternal destination of every single person on the planet who ever has or ever will live. And that's why it's super important that we have to learn to listen, because the day there's going to be more false teaching. There's going to be more false prophets. There's going to be more apostasy and heresy within the quote unquote church right here in America. And you have to be able to listen carefully and discern. So this is the pastor at this church down in Tampa introducing Glenn Beck. And he handles some of this Mormon stuff right up front. But then it kind of collapses after that. Let's listen.
If you don't know, I'm going to just try to be very, very clean and very clear today. Glenn is Mormon. We are not. Say, we are not. Okay, we're not trying to be. We don't support or endorse a Mormon doctrine. There's some very distinct things in Christianity and the doctrine of Mormonism. Does everybody understand? Okay, here's what we can affirm. We're not affirming Mormonism. We're affirming Glenn Beck and the fact that, along with me and others, very well-known Christian leaders around our country, having personal conversations.
Okay, so you see what just happened there? We're not affirming Mormonism. We're affirming Glenn Beck. But then in a couple of minutes, Glenn Beck will affirm Mormonism. So we're not affirming Mormonism, but we're affirming Glenn Beck, meaning they agree with a lot of his things. And then the one thing that the pastor is about to say, which Glenn Beck agrees with, but it's not true. And so that's why, and it feels good, and it's like, okay, he's handling this stuff, but you got to look deeper. This is getting more deceptive all the time. We have to be smarter. We have to be gentle as doves and wise as a serpent.
With him, I asked him point blank. I said, who is Jesus Christ? He said, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him.
Yeah, cue the applause. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, awesome. Now let me back it up a little bit. What's your presupposition in there? Jesus. Who is Jesus? That is a major problem between Mormonism and biblical Christianity. That question alone tears it all down. Who is Jesus? We're not talking about the same Jesus, so you can quote it all you want. But we're not talking about the same Jesus. Does that matter? Of course it does. Of course it does.
Okay, so we're affirming Glenn Beck and his affirmation for Jesus. And also, when you hear him mention God, it's very clear, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not talking about a different Jesus or a different God. Amen?
Okay, there he goes again. Okay, we're not talking about a different Jesus. Yes, we are. We're not talking about a different God. Yes, we are. This is like the Islam thing. Is Allah the God of the Bible? No. Is the God of Mormonism, of Joseph Smith's quote-unquote interpretation and revelation, is that the God of biblical, traditional, 2,000-year-old, right from Jesus, who's all Scripture is God-breathed? Is it that God? They could say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all the time, every day, all day. That doesn't make it so. The Mormon God was a man who lived on another planet. That's where he lives now. And he became a God. And then he has spirit children like Jesus and Satan and you and me. And so is that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Sounds good, right? Sounds good. Not true. Because you have to define what is God. Okay? Are you with me?
The next thing that we want to affirm is that he has a message. I believe it is it's a prophetic message for our country to wake up. For our country to wake up. Wake up! You know, wake up! And those are our affirmations for Mr. Glenn Beck and all that God is doing in him. You know, it's an incredible thing when we have an opportunity to stand with people that we normally would not stand with on the issues we can stand for. There are distinctions, and we want those distinctions to remain what they are. We're not blending Mormonism Christianity. We're not sending you to...
See, that's not an accurate statement. We're not blending Mormonism and Christianity. Yes, you are, Pastor, because from the pulpit, you affirmed that when Glenn talks about Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And when he talks about God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you said from the pulpit, we're together there. We're together. No, we're not. The Jesus of Mormonism is not the Jesus of biblical Christianity. And the God of Mormonism is not the God of biblical Christianity. Do you see the problem with all this? It all sounds great, doesn't it? For the cause of waking people up in America, for the cause of Planned Parenthood, for the cause of religious freedom, for the cause of the people being butchered and abused and sold into slavery in the Middle East, for all those causes. That sounds great. And we need to work together on those things, but let's not pretend that we're on the same page on the eternal side of it, because we aren't. And to not point that out is dangerous for all eternity. When we come back, you'll hear what Glenn Beck said after the pastor. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. Hang in there. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble here on Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Finishing up the show, listening to some clips from yesterday. It's the Crossing Church outside of Tampa. Pastor Greg Dumas is the senior pastor. It looks like a great church. I just have a beef with trying to, you know, make it look like they're affirming Glenn Beck and affirming his belief in the one and only Jesus and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But when you dig in, because Glenn Beck affirms Mormonism, you're going to hear him say that in a second. So when a Mormon says, hey, I'm all about Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, man, I'm down with Jesus. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? But remember that the Mormon doctrine on Jesus is not Christianity. It's not biblical Christianity, just like the Mormon doctrine on God is not biblical Christianity. So here's the big problem here. I'm not saying that Glenn Beck is not a born-again Christian. He very well may be. But he's a born-again Christian that still tied himself and still affirms the Mormon church. I put this on his Facebook page last night, and I speak gently
And I can't imagine how difficult it would be for Glenn Beck after the Mormon Church took him in with his wife, and when he was coming out of his, you know, he was an alcoholic. He just had a train wreck in his life, and it was really difficult. And they loved him well, and I'm sure they've loved him well all along the way. But if you're gonna say you're a champion of the truth, and that's the ultimate capital T truth. And so Glenn Beck, I think if he's really a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, and I can't say that he isn't, but he's still affirming and supporting the Mormon Church, which is not the Jesus of the Bible, not the God of the Bible, not the salvation of the Bible. The whole thing is so messed up. It's crazy. So he has to choose this day or someday soon whom you will serve. How can you be a born-again Christian affirming the actual doctrine of the church, of the Christian religion, the Christian faith, biblical 2,000-year-old New Testament Christian faith, and still affirm the Mormon Church whose doctrines fly in the face of it? You can't, right? It's like being a double agent or something. And so, I mean, the show, thank God, is on in Tampa, WTIS, a great station down there, AM 1110. And you may be listening, and Pastor Dumas might be your pastor. And if you'd like to have him contact me, I'd love to talk. I'm not going to talk to him in front of you guys, but I'll talk to him off the air, absolutely. And we'll have the conversation. I think this can be very, very dangerous as we put the things of the world above the things of God. And where we cannot sing kumbaya, we must not. And so Glenn Beck gets up and says this.
Hello. I am humbled and I am very grateful that you would invite me, and I bring you a message of how wonderful your pastor is and your team of pastors here. They are truly, truly men of God. And they are righteously offensive. And that's good. My mother used to come in the morning and she would say, "Wake up, honey. Come on, time to get up. Time to get up." And I would say, "Okay, all right." And I'd go back to sleep. "Come on, kids, time to wake up. Come on, wake up." Eventually, she would just rip the covers off me, and she'd turn on the light and open up the curtains. "Get up."
Okay, this is all good.
That's where we're at, gang.
Right? It's all good.
Time to wake up. And we need good pastors, like Pastor Greg, who will actually rip the covers off us and open up the shades and say, "Wake up. The night has passed and morning has come."
Okay, that's all the populist stuff. You know, we got to engage the culture. I'm with you. That's good. Okay.
And it takes real bravery. But I want to echo what your good pastor just said. I am a Mormon, and we are different. We are different than you, but we believe in Jesus Christ, the Savior and Redeemer of the world. We believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's all we have to agree on.
Okay. Is it just me? do you see, do you hear the danger in that? He completely affirms his allegiance to the Mormon Church, and then he says, "Hey, Jesus, we're down with that. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down with that." And what does the evangelical crowd at the Crossing Church do in Tampa? And other than this little thing here, this tiny little snapshot thing, which I think is very significant for all of us to learn from, I'm sure it's a great church. It's a growing church. It's a great story. I read it on their website. Two churches that came together. That's awesome. They're all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's great. But in this case, when you're dealing with this stuff, it's so nuanced, but it's so troublesome. It can be so dangerous from an eternal perspective that you go, no. See, we acknowledge these differences. The pastor does and Glenn does. And then they basically, you know, this sounds kind of rude, but it all gets swept underneath the rug because, hey, Glenn and we're all about Jesus. And we're all about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, except if he's really a Mormon and holds to Mormon doctrine, we aren't. Like I've said before, this is one of the greatest ways I can explain to anybody this dangerous difference between Mormonism and Christianity. Same vocabulary, totally different dictionary. And that matters. It matters. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. Pontius Pilate, what is truth? And Jesus said, "For this reason I was born, and this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Truth trumps everything. And so when you get the rah-rah, sis, boom, bomb, we want to do great things in this country. We want to push back the forces of darkness and evil. But one of those forces of darkness and evil, friend, is false teaching and false theology. And part of it is, yes, Islam. But another false teaching and another false philosophy, another false religion itself, is Mormonism. Now, we don't have to worry about them cutting our heads off. Praise God. But it's a false religion, a false doctrine that leads people not to heaven, but to hell. And that's an eternal reality. That's why we have to be so careful in these dark days. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about something we all need work on, do we not? And that's the issue of prayer. God willing, I'll see you then.